We continue in this series of messages from the book of Daniel, and in the first two we've had so far, it looked at particular events related to Daniel, and this morning we're going to be looking at this section that deals with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as we had looked previously, we had read concerning Daniel, where it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And then over in chapter 6 and verse 4, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him." So we've talked about that, about the witness and testimony of Daniel in his life. And as we said, now we're coming to this portion of Scripture in Daniel chapter 3 as it relates to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what we want to see here is that, you know, sometimes we run into situations where people who declare their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet who won't take up the cross and bear that responsibility that they have in following in the footsteps of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've come to this passage, and we consider this morning that one reason that we see this in this world is among some Christians, why there may be a reluctance to do that, is that like Nebuchadnezzar, there are those that expect us to follow the fashions and the rules of the world when they run counter to the Word of God. And we've seen the example, as we said, with Daniel, who said that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's food, and he did not follow that. And then over in Daniel chapter 6, we know the rest of that story is when they were told just to pray to the king for him to supply whatever they had need of. And Daniel, you know, certainly being a man of prayer, was seen, and he didn't obey that law, the civil authority, and he was thrown into the lion's den. And in this case, we have where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't obedient to the law that was given by the king, and whoever violated that law was to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And they were very resolute in their statement. And sin in some form or other certainly is something that confronts all of us. It confronts all Christians, and where we may be tempted not to walk in the ways of the Lord. And certainly sometimes this comes up in regard to those rules that are passed out by the civil authority. I think that we see this today, you know, where similar laws are being handed down. And we had mentioned recently about the young couple that lives, I think, in New Mexico, that had to close down their bakery shop because they refused to make a wedding cake for a homosexual couple. And they got hauled into court and were found guilty of violating New Mexico law. And they've had to close their business from where it was, which was very, very successful. Now are only running it out of their home. But they knew that because of their Christian convictions, they could not do that. And so they didn't do it. And then there was the elderly lady over there in the state of Washington who also came into conflict like that. And more stories are happening like that. And more concern about that happening, as it seems that our world, our country particularly, is on a pursuit of just promoting this perverse lifestyle, even as I said, what the Department of Justice plans to do in stating that all marriages in all states would be, same-sex marriages would be recognized as legal as far as the law is concerned, regardless of what the state law is, or as in Montana, the state constitution says that marriage is only between one man and one woman. Where we see the threats that are being made to chaplains, we can relate to this command that's given to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down and worship this pagan god. And there are the same pleas being made today to have us follow in the ways of these pagan pagan gods, whether it's the promotion and encouragement of this homosexual sin, or whether or in regard to same-sex marriage, there's still these things that are where believers are being challenged, and the men who are chaplains in their role in the military especially are being challenged. I know Chaplain Beattie said that several weeks ago that a homosexual couple had come into him wanting him to help them get certain benefits that were available for those in the military, even if it's a same-sex marriage, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And so, you know, Chaplain Beattie's right at near the very end of his service in the chaplaincy, but some of the other men there, though, they have some great length of time. And so we're very, very concerned about what we see happening. And there's a lot of Nebuchadnezzars today that would expect us to bow down before the pagan customs and pagan traditions of the world and to follow it. The tyranny of this world, it's fierce and it's cruel. And those who will not worship the pagan images that are set up in our world today will find that burning fiery furnace hasn't really cooled off much. It may not really be a burning fiery furnace, but the opposition and the threats that are being made and the need for us to remember the example, whether it's of Daniel or whether it's of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the world's trumpets, the world's harps, the world's lutes, the world's sackbuts, their instruments will play, their music will play to be a part of that temptation to have us to worship a pagan god. And yet we need to block out our ears to those sounds of the world. Some of you remember things in Roman mythology or Greek mythology about the sirens, who these females that were on these rocks at a particularly dangerous passage in the sea, and the sirens would make their sounds, and the sailors would go off course. That they would be so attracted by those sounds, and they would wreck, and the ships would go down, and they would be killed. There's the sirens in the world today. It's not something mythological. It's certainly something that's happening to detract us from the things of God's Word. And here, the people were told, when you hear this sound of these instruments, that you're to worship this pagan god. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not do it. The world uses the charm of its music and other means to try to detract us from the things of the Lord, from the testimony that we would have. And the true believer must stand defiant to the threats of the world. And remember, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do in this passage that we have before us, that we have to be resolute, that we are to obey God rather than men. And just as the apostles faced that, you know, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you and I believe that we're coming to a time more and more like that, when we resolutely, defiantly, and valiantly will say, we ought to obey God rather than men. And the thing that's wonderful about this is that the same God that delivered Daniel, the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's the same God we worship. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed one bit. He still has the same expectations of those who are His people. And we trust that we'll be faithful to this. We cannot be the disciples of Christ unless we come to the point where we say we will abide by the Word of God. We cannot be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ until we come to the point where we say that we will only follow Him rather than the attractions of the world. We cannot be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to bow down before the pagan gods of this world. And we see that happening more and more. I just read yesterday a young man from it didn't say the name of the church, but he said from a conservative Presbyterian church, is going around giving lectures and evidently attracting quite a crowd in defending same-sex marriage and why those conservative Bible believing Christians are wrong in what they think, and yet his arguments start out presuming that you and I are wrong. His arguments are made presuming that what he believes is right, rather than putting a proposition out there and then defending it, trying to defend it. We know he couldn't, but if he tried to defend it from a biblical standpoint. But it's sad and where people are have fallen into that. As we said, we can't be a loyal subject of King Jesus we can't be a loyal subject to King Jesus if we're going to live by the standards of this world. We simply cannot do that. You know, that challenge that was made in Scripture, if the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow Him. Whom are we going to follow? Whom are we going to follow? And we ask ourselves that. We can't serve both, although some people try to do that. What's interesting that we see here in this passage in Daniel chapter 3, and we look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? So the question there, is it true? Is it true? So we think of that question in regard to ourselves. Do we sometimes think we're going to go through this life unnoticed? Do we think that we're going to go through this life without people knowing of our testimony? But we as believers, and knowing that we're to be salt and light, we can't help but shine in the midst of this perverse generation in which we live. And you'll be sure to meet someone or other whom you may respect or someone you may fear, who will demand of you and ask you, as Nebuchadnezzar, as that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you won't bow down to these gods? When they come to us, and they'll ask, is it true that you won't bow down to these gods? The president of Hobby Lobby, you know, in effect, that question's been asked him, is it true that you won't bow down to this sacrament of abortion? It's treated almost like a sacrament in our nation today. Will you not bow down to that? And he says, that's true. He won't do it. He won't do it. They face, I forgot how many, $10,000 a day fine. When that starts being applied. And we need to pray for him. There's others we've spoken about before. But there's some sort of almost like a sneer that comes from skeptics of those who would question our declaration of our faith, who question our declaration of loyalty to King Jesus, who would question whether it's really true that we have intentions of walking according to the old-fashioned, tossed-out Bible that we hold in our hands. So from many sides comes this question, is it true? Is it true? Don't we realize that our lives, if we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives that are lived in public, that other people will see? And as Nebuchadnezzar said to these three men, will you do what I command, or will you obey God? Such a time we pray that if any of us are ever asked that question, that we may answer it rightly, to the glory of God and according to His holy and infallible Word. Nebuchadnezzar was certainly a presumptuous man. Nebuchadnezzar was certainly narcissistic. Nebuchadnezzar was certainly a wicked, wicked man. And he couldn't believe that anyone in his kingdom, anyone on earth, would have the audacity not to obey the things he said. I said it. How dare you not to obey this? How dare you not obey this? And so he just couldn't believe that they would do it. So he asked, is it true? Is it true? And I know the promises that we have in Scripture, but I also see things that are happening in this world. And I do know that there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. I know that's coming. I know the king that dealt with whether it's Darius or whether it's with Nebuchadnezzar or whatever, you know, the same God that dealt with them is the same God we have today. I know that. I'm sure I know that. I know that the Scripture says that Christ will have His enemies as His footstool. He'll stand on them. He'll rule over them totally. That time is coming. There certainly are difficult times that may come our way too. And we don't know what it may be in God's providence. But may we be confident too that God reigns, that He rules, and that the promises in Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35, that where it says there, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" None. It's an everlasting dominion that He has. I'm confident of that. I'm sure of that. But I also recognize that there are forces at work today who would seek to bring in destruction to Christianity if they thought it was within their hands to be able to do that. When you think of the over 100 million Christians who have been slain by under communism, they thought they were going to stop the Christian faith. It hasn't happened. When there are those who sought to slay the Christian faith by the introduction of evolution, higher critical thinking, and so on, these and communism, and thought they were going to be able to destroy it. It hasn't happened, and yet it is strengthened. So when some Nebuchadnezzar will walk up to you and put it pretty plainly, "Will you do as I wish, or will you obey your God?" At such a time as that, when he asks you, "Is it true that by the grace of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit that you have within you, not depending upon your own strength, but on that strength that comes from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," that we will say, we will obey God rather than men. That we'll obey God rather than men. Nebuchadnezzar thought there couldn't be any being in the whole world in his dominion who could have such impudence, you know, in speaking this way, and as they said to him, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they say at the end of verse 16, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that they would have such a strong testimony. He just couldn't believe that that would take place. Often, ungodly men profess they don't believe in the conversion of those who may be their friends or fellow workers. Someone would ask us, you know, when we see these things happening, somewhere to ask us, "Is it true that you don't go along with the things of the world? Is it true that you will not bow down to the rulers of this world who are ordering things to be done that are contrary to the Word of God?" We trust that it will not be that way. How was it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to the forefront when the king's command was given? People knew that they wouldn't bow down. That was their testimony. And that's one thing that we've asked when we were looking at Daniel. When they're in Daniel chapter 6, they tried to find something that could be used against Daniel or against his God, and they couldn't find anything. That was his testimony. And when Daniel in chapter 1, when he was to take the meat and the drink from the king's table, and he said, "No, I won't do it. Let me eat my own food, and I'll prove to you that I'm not going to get weak. I'll prove to you that I'm better off. And so he was obedient. He didn't want to violate the rules of God's people, the Jewish people. And so he didn't partake of that which he was not supposed to partake of, and according to the laws in Leviticus. And God blessed him in a mighty way. He blessed him mightily. But the people knew Daniel's testimony. The people knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's testimony. Their life spoke it. It was in public. They knew what it was. And we ask ourselves this morning, you know, do we have a testimony like that? Do people see that? And that's the thing, you know, that I think is such an encouragement about reading these things here. You know, Saeed Abedini, the American, is originally from Iran, whose family lives in Boise, loves the Lord, tells people about Christ. He's languishing in one of the worst prisons in Iran now. He's in horrible, horrible health. And he was sentenced to 8 years for telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a choice. He was going to obey God rather than men. And so he certainly feels a need for his fellow countrymen there, as far as from the country from which he came, Iran, and was sharing with them testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we do hear that many hundreds and thousands in Iran are coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that. But here's Saeed Abedini. He was languishing in prison, his health, and he was very, very poor condition. But they knew about him. They knew about Saeed Abedini. He had a life that was lived. He had a testimony that was lived. He was faithful. So if anyone asked him, is it true? His life demonstrated that it was true. That he serves the true and the living God. And we ask ourselves this morning, do we serve the true and the living God? There may be days that will come when we must speak out. And I think those days are certainly here. But we must speak out or prove that we'd be traitors to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May it never, ever be the latter. Charles Spurgeon had written, "The way to peace is not concealment of convictions, but the honest expression of them in the power of the Holy Ghost." What a wonderful statement. The way to peace is not the concealment of convictions, but the honest expression of them in the power of the Holy Ghost. And may that be with us in our life. You know, do we think that we will gain peace by not expressing what our convictions are? No, but the expression of them in doing all that we've been commanded to do and standing for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. When we live in such a world in which we live today, may it be that people are able to see our lives as being faithful to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be fully prepared to answer that inquiry that may be made of you, as Nebuchadnezzar inquired, "Is it true?" when he spoke to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Be ready and able to show why you are a believer in God, why you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, why you believe that the Bible is God's holy and infallible Word. Be ready to give a testimony of why you trust in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died in our stead, that we might have everlasting life. Be ready to give an answer for that. And don't hem and haw about. Be ready to give that answer if someone comes to you and asks you, "Is it true?" Show what you cannot do, that is, bowing down to the gods of the world, and what you must do, that is, serving the sovereign God. Be ready when being a child of God, that you explain that God's Spirit worked in your life and you were called unto Him through the power of God's Word. and you were made a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by the sovereign grace of God through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. That all things became new. That the old man was cast out. That heart of stone was taken out and the heart of flesh was given unto you. May you speak of your delight in the things of the Lord. But may you not speak in delight of the days when you were unregenerate. May you be ready to give an answer, whether it be a Nebuchadnezzar, or whether it be someone you may know in social circles or some. But is it true? Is it true that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it true that you won't bow down to the King? Is it true? Be ready, always ready to give an answer for the faith that is within you. And we do it with meekness. And we do it for the glory of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would never have stood against this egotistical, arrogant, narcissistic king. They would never have done that if they had not known the true and the living God. If they had not worshipped the true and the living God and knew Him to be faithful. They were like their friend Daniel, as we read in Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had purposed in their heart that they wouldn't bow down to this pagan king. They had purposed that. What have we purposed in our heart concerning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? These three men were instructed in the things of the Lord. They were familiar with the law of God. And therefore, they stood fast where those less instructed or those not knowledgeable of the Word of God may have stumbled. Always take care to proceed with them. A deep sincerity, a well-spoken defense of your faith in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Always be ready to say that we will stand for the true and the living God. Be ready to remember Daniel. Be ready to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they say, they're saying to Nebuchadnezzar, we want to make this clear to you. When he asked, is it true? When they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not concerned about what you threaten to do us, to do to us. We're not careful. We're not going to hold back. We're going to tell you, you know, what our position is, that we're not going to bow down to your God, and that we will worship our God, the true and the living God. The heart work that God, by His sovereign grace, has done for us will enable us to stand in the fire. The hard work that's been done where we've been made new creatures in Christ will enable us to resist all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The hard work that's been done in us by the grace of God, and leaning not on our own understanding, not on our own power, but leaning upon upon God. You know, He is the one who will deliver us. You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? To die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we ask ourselves, you know, when someone comes to us and asks the question, like they did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true that we will boldly say, for the glory of God, yes, that's true. We will not bow down to your God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would strengthen us in our lives, in our hearts, in our testimony, in our courage, in our zeal for the things of the Lord and to tell others about this, that we might see even that testimony being used, that others may be strengthened who may have become weak, who may have become fearful, that we would be good examples of faithful soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it may be said of us when we come to the end of our life, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.